بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In our previous class we had begun reading from the مقدمة and the introduction of the author رحمه الله تعالى. And we have seen that he began with the basmala, Bismillahi Rahmani Rahim, wa bihi nasta'in, beginning with the name of Allah, the Most Gracious, the Most Merciful, and seeking His aid and help alone, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. And likewise, we begin in the same manner, seeking the aid and the help of Allah, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. And then he mentioned after this two verses from the Book of Allah Azza wa Jal. إن تجتنبوا كبائر ما تنهون عنه نكفر عنكم سيئاتكم وندخلكم مدخلا كريما. That if you stay away from and avoid the major sins that you have been forbidden, then we will expiate for you your minor sins and admit you into a noble admittance, and admit you into paradise with honor and dignity and respect. And after this he mentioned the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, الَّذِينَ يَجْتَنِبُونَ كَبَائِرَ الْإِثْمِ وَالْفَوَاحِشَ إِلَّا اللَّمَمْ إِنَّ رَبَّكَ وَاسِعُ الْمَغْفِرَةِ. Those who avoid and stay away from the major sins, and likewise those actions of indecency, except for the minor sins, then verily your Lord, He has vast forgiveness. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. It has preceded that there are a number of benefits in these texts here. And we see that the author in this work, as in other works, like Kitab al-Tawheed, he will begin with an introduction, beginning with the Basmala, and after that, statements of Allah Azza wa Jal, and statements of His Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and statements of the companions, making this first affair here an introduction and a clarification of the foundation of this book and what it is about. And what is about and what it will contain and the likes like that. And that is what he's doing here. Likewise, so we see in general, if we wanted to make a title and after his introduction with the basmala, we'll see that with regards to these two verses, he's clarifying فَضْلُ مَعْرِفَةِ الْكَبَائِرِ وَاجْتِنَابِهَا, the virtue of knowing the major sins and staying away from them. The virtues of knowing the major sins and avoiding them and staying away from them. We could put this as a title right here before these two verses. فَضْلُ مَعْرِفَةِ الْكَبَائِرِ وَاجْتِنَابِهَا, the virtues of knowing and having knowledge of the major sins and avoiding them and staying away from them. So we see here from the benefits of this affair is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used the word اجتناب. And this means to leave something and to avoid it and stay away from it. So this requires for a believer to strive hard and to make effort and to avoid these major sins by learning them first and foremost, and then cutting off all paths that would lead him to there and not coming near that. And this avoidance here, or ijtinab, is similar to an-nahyu an qurban al-shay, the prohibition of coming near something. And this is likewise come, and this is more severe and more stern, and likewise more beneficial to clarify the dangers of this affair. Don't come near it. Never mind, don't do it or don't say it, don't come near it. Prohibitions have come like this. And this affair here with regards to these issues here, the major sins, then you must avoid them. Not just leaving them, but rather leave them and avoid them and stay away from them. And this requires mujahadat al-nafs. And we have seen likewise in the previous class that that's the reality of the true mujahid. The true mujahid, he's the one who strives against his soul and the obedience of Allah. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, al-mujahidu man jahada nafsahu fi ta'atillah. Fi ta'ati Allahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is from the first of the benefits that were mentioned. Likewise, we see from these verses, from these noble verses, from the Book of Allah Azza wa Jalla, that the sins are divided into two categories, minor sins and major sins. Likewise, if we look, we can see as well that even the major sins, they're also not all one level and one rank. This is as Allah has mentioned, الَّذِينَ يَجْتَنِبُونَ كَبَائِرُ الْإِثْمِ وَالْفَوَاحِشِ. Those who avoid and stay away from the major sins and the actions of indecency. الْفَوَاحِشِ هِيَ الْكَبَائِرِ. هِيَ الْكَبَائِرِ. That the fawa'ish, they are the major sins. But the people of knowledge, they mention that the major sins that are described with fuhsh, indecency and vulgar, that have a great action of indecency or vulgarness in speech or in action and conduct, this is something extra on top of the fact that it's a major sin. On top of the fact that it's a major sin and that it would be described as fahisha, this is even more severe, and even more vulgar, and even more harsh and disgusting and detestable. So for example, the people of knowledge, they mentioned that these major sins, they can become worse and worse. And this is something that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has clarified about, for example, to fornicate, waliyadu billah, is a major sin. But for an old man to fall into fornication whenever he's weak and his desires have weakened, but he still falls into this affair, then this is even more severe. Or the issue of fornication, no doubt, is disgusting. But for somebody to do that with his relatives from his maharim and the likes like this, or to do that with his neighbor's wife and the likes like this, or his neighbor's family, so on and so forth, this is even more severe because it's violating even more rights. So along with it being a kabira, it has a fush, wal qubh, wal shana'a. It's increased in filth and vulgarness, and that is disgusting even more. So this is the issue here, and Allah is mentioning that here. أَلَّذِينَ يَجْتَنِبُونَ كَبَائِرَ الْإِثْمِ وَالْفَوَاحِشِ. So we can understand from this, yani that the major sins, they're not all one level. And the author, he's going to clarify this with narrations likewise. But we find this from the benefits of these noble verses. Of these noble verses. So the issue here is that there also is benefits from this affair. The fact that a person, he would avoid and make effort and strive to stay away from the major sins, from the rewards of that he will have in this life, that Allah Azza wa Jalla will expiate his sins, his minor sins. And likewise, it will be a means for him to have a great, vast portion of the forgiveness of Allah Azza wa Jalla by doing this, by making effort, by making an ijtinab, by striving to avoid these things. He has this great benefit that his sins that he performed now will be expiated. And likewise, that he will have a great, vast portion of the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also from those benefits in the hereafter, that he will be admitted into paradise. And the manner that he will be admitted, mudkhalan kareeman, in a noble manner, with dignity, with honor, meaning that Allah will love him and respect him and honor him and admit him in this manner, in the best way. And this is the reward for al-ijtinab, ijtinab al-kaba'ir wal-fawahish, by staying away from these major sins. Another benefit that the people of knowledge, they mention about this affair, we see that ijtinab, to avoid and to stay away from these major sins, this is considered amalan salihan, that this is a righteous deed, that this is a righteous action. So not only the actions that we perform and we do them are considered righteous actions, and according to the sunnah and seeking the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla, but likewise avoiding and leaving things, to stop from something and to avoid that, and to avoid that thing, or to refrain from it and to leave it off, also this is an action of righteousness and piety that will earn the slave and the servant the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla. The pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla. It has come in the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, collected by At-Tirmidhi rahimahullah, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, min husni islam al-mar'i tarkuhu ma la ya'nihi. From the good Islam of a person is that he leaves off, that he leaves off that which does not concern him. So leaving off these affairs that do not concern a person from the major sins, this is from al-Islam, and this is from Iman, and these are righteous deeds that are pleasing to Allah, and that will earn a person the pleasure of Allah, and a reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and a means to enter paradise. Likewise, we see the benefit with regards to understanding the tafsir of the verses of Allah Azza wa Jal. That is that the verses that are closed with a name or more from the names of Allah Azza wa Jal, or the mention of some of his attributes, it's an indication that the meanings contained in that verse, they have a relationship with those names. They have a relationship with those attributes. So like here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he closed this verse here, referring to those righteous people and their traits, that they leave off those major sins and the actions of indecency, except for the small sins. وَإِنَّ رَبَّكَ وَاسِعٌ مَغْفِرَةٌ. That verily your Lord, and the ones who they were afraid of, and they obeyed, and because they believed in his rububiyyah and his lordship, and your Lord, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَاسِعٌ مَغْفِرَةٌ. He has vast forgiveness. He has vast forgiveness, meaning for those people who strive to avoid those sins out of fear of him, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive their errors and mistakes and their shortcomings. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will forgive their errors and their mistakes and their shortcomings. So we see here mentioning these two verses in the beginning like this is very beneficial to see the virtues related to avoiding and staying away from the major sins. And this is the way of the people of knowledge. Whenever they author many of their works, that they will begin by mentioning the virtue of an issue. They'll begin by mentioning the virtue of an issue, especially with regards to obligations, because there's difficulty sometimes in bearing the obligations and to perform them day in, day out. They can be heavy responsibility. But if a person, he knows the virtue of that affair, it will help him to make it lighter. It will help him to make it lighter. So many times we see that the books of fiqh and the books of hadith and the likes like that, whenever they begin the chapters, they will mention the issues related to the virtues of the affair that will be discussed, and then after that, the obligations of that affair. And then after that, the rulings related to that affair. And this way, a believer, he knows the virtue. It'll be easy for him to bear that and to maintain that, because he's striving for that virtue and he's hoping for that blessing and that grace. And he's hoping for that blessing and that grace. After this, the author, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned a narration. And he says, Rawa ibn Jaririn and ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, annahu qal, al-kabair kullu dhanbin khatamahu Allahu binar, aw la'natin, aw ghadabin, aw adhab. He said that it's narrated by Ibn Jarir. Ibn Jarir, his name is Abu Ja'far. Ibn Jarir, Abu Ja'far, al-Tabari, rahimahullah ta'ala. And he is a great scholar of tafsir, and likewise a great scholar of al-hadith, and also a great scholar of al-lugha, al-arabiyya, and also a great scholar of al-fiqh. Muhammad ibn Jarir al-Tabari, rahimahullah ta'ala, Abu Ja'far, rahimahullah ta'ala, he died in the year 310, and he was from the first of the scholars to collect a tafsir and an explanation of the Noble Quran, all by using narrations, all by using narrations and collecting narrations with chain. So he would explain the verses of Allah Azza wa Jal and mention the meanings and the interpretation, and after that he will say, and those who have mentioned this interpretation, it is narrated to me so-and-so that narrated so-and-so, with his chain all the way back to either the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam or one of the companions or some of the tabi'een in this manner. This is known as tafsir bil ma'thur. Tafsir bil ma'thur. This is the proper way. This is tafsir by way of narration. This is tafsir by way of narration. It's a great tafsir, more than 30 volumes. More than 30 volumes. Likewise, he's a scholar of tariq and Islamic history. And he has books with regards to this as well. And this is mentioned here in his tafsir. He mentioned with his chain to Ibn Abbas. Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, his name is Abdullah ibn Abbas, Abu al-Abbas radiyallahu anhuma. He's the nephew of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And whenever the Prophet died, he was approximately 13 years old. يعني قد نازح الاحتلام, as it's mentioned in his biography, that he was almost at the age of puberty at the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abdullah ibn Abbas. But the Prophet, he made dua for him. He said, Allahumma faqihhu fi al-deen wa 'allimhu al-ta'wil. Oh Allah, grant him understanding in the religion and teach him the interpretation of the book. And this is a supplication that the Prophet made for him. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa radiyallahu anhu wa an as-sahabati ajma'in. He is known as Habru al-Ummah wa turjuman al-Qur'an. Habru al-Ummah ay alim al-Ummah, the scholar of this Ummah. Wa turjuman al-Qur'an, the interpreter, ay al-Mufassir. Mufassir al-Qur'an, the interpreter of the Qur'an. And he has great and vast knowledge in the religion of Allah Azza wa Jal, specifically with the Qur'an, specifically with the Qur'an. It's mentioned about him, radiyallahu anhu, Abdullah ibn Abbas, that he was asked, how did you gain all of this knowledge? And he said, radiyallahu anhu, bi qalbin aqul wa lisanin sa'ul. Bi qalbin aqul wa lisanin sa'ul. He said, I obtained this knowledge by having a heart that comprehends and understands and reflects. A heart that understands and comprehends, reflects and ponders a lot. And also a tongue that's always asking questions. A tongue that's always asking questions, yani beneficial questions. So he was a seeker of knowledge, and he was striving with his heart, yani to learn. He was striving to learn, and he made effort. It's mentioned about him, radiallahu anhu, that he used to go to the houses of the Ansar in the daytime, and he would go at the dhuhr time, in the heat of the day, and he would wait at the doorway and at the doorstep, and he would not knock on the door, and he would say, وَكُنْتُ أَتَوَسَدُ إِزَارِي. And he said, I would take my izar as a pillow, and I would lay there, and I would wait for him to come out. And then whenever he would come out for the Asr prayer, he would stand up and he would greet him. And then the one who was coming out would say, "Oh, nephew of the Messenger of Allah, how long have you been here? Why didn't you inform me that you were here?" And he would say, "Because I wanted you to come out whenever you had rested and whenever your soul is at ease and that you're ready to answer the questions that I have." And so he was diligent like this. And plus he had the best of manners. He had the best of manners. Radiallahu anhu, in this manner, he obtained much knowledge. And it's mentioned that one time he was with Zayd ibn Thabit. Radiallahu anhu, and Zayd ibn Thabit, he was going to get on his horse. And Ibn Abbas, he grabbed the stirrups for him to put his feet in. And then Zayd, he says, "What are you doing? What are you doing, O nephew of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam?" And he, don't do that. He's shy from this affair. And Ibn Abbas, he said, "Hakadha umirna naf'ala bi ulama'ina." He said, "Like this, we have been commanded to treat our scholars. Like this, we have been commanded to treat our scholars." No doubt, Ibn Abbas, he's from the family of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Zayd ibn Thabit, he is from the Ansar, which is no doubt a great virtue. But the lineage of Ibn Abbas is much closer to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and his nearness in this manner like this. But he's showing honor and respect for Zayd ibn Thabit because of the knowledge that he carries. Because of the knowledge that he carries. And this is an indication of the way to benefit, to have noble manners and to have noble conduct with those who have knowledge, in order to get it from them, in order to obtain it from them and to abstract it in the best manner for their hearts to open up to that person and to give them the knowledge in the best way, that one will, he will deal with the people of knowledge with the best and noble manners. هكذا أمرنا نفعل بعلمائنا. So at this time, Zayd ibn Thabit radiallahu anhu, he said, "Give me your hand, let me see your hand." So he showed him his hand. فَقَبَّلَ يَدَهُ فَقَالَ وَهَكَذَا أُمِرْنَا نَفْعَلِ بِأَهْلِ بَيْتِ نَبِيِّنَا صلى الله عليه وسلم. He said, "Give me your hand, let me see your hand." So then Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he gave him the hand. And then Zayd ibn Thabit radiallahu anhu, he kissed his hand and he said, "Like this, we have been commanded to treat the household of our Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم." Again, returning the respect. So this is a narration from Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma. He says, "Al-kabair, the major sins, kullu dhanbin khatamahu Allahu binar. Khatamahu Allahu binar, ay khatama dhikrahu binar." Every sin that Allah, he closed the mention of that affair with fire, with the mention of the hellfire. Aw bila'na, or with a curse. Aw ghadabin, aw adhab, or the anger of Allah, or a punishment. So every affair from the affairs of the prohibition, or the issues that are mentioned with regards to sins, and then the mention of that affair is closed with the threat of the fire or a curse or the anger of Allah or a punishment, then this is an indication that it's a major sin. Then this is an indication that it's a major sin. And this narration, it has some light weaknesses. It has some light weaknesses in the chain. But the people of knowledge, they have transmitted this narration and likewise this interpretation or definition of Al-Kabira, yani from his time until our time. And this is something that the people of knowledge have come to agree upon. And this is what Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he mentioned, أَمْثَلُ الْأَقْوَالِ فِي هَذِهِ الْمَسْأَلَةِ الْقَوْلُ الْمَأْثُورُ عَنْ إِبْنِ عَبَاسٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا وَذَكَرَهُ أَبُو عُبَيْدٍ وَأَحْمَدُ بْنُ حَنْبَلٍ. He said, "The best and the most upright statement with regards to the definition of a major sin in this affair here is that statement that has been narrated from Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, and this is what is mentioned by Abu Ubaid, yani Ibn Salam, Abu Ubaid Ibn Salam, yani, and likewise by Ahmad ibn Hanbal, rahimahum Allahu ta'ala." So this is the definition. A person, he could also put another title here on top of this narration, and the author, what is his intent from this? Ta'rifu al-kabira. Ta'rif al-kabira, the definition of a major sin. So first he mentioned the virtue of avoiding the major sins, and now he's clarifying what a major sin is, the definition of a major sin. We could shorten it in summarization and say, kullu dhanbin ja'a fihi wa'id. Kullu dhanbin ja'a fihi wa'id. Every sin that a threat has come with regards to it. And this includes the whole affair, whether it's a threat of a punishment in this life, whether it's a legal punishment or some type of retribution that will be taken from that individual in this life, like a head from the hudud. Like, for example, there's a threat for the one who steals that his hand will be chopped off, and this is a legal punishment that will occur in this life, and this is a threat for that. So this is an indication it's a major sin. Likewise, if there's a threat for a punishment in the hereafter as well, also this is an indication that it's a major sin. So this is the affair here. Yani, to summarize, every issue that a threat has come to, that a threat has been mentioned with regards to it, and every prohibition and every sin that a threat has come or mentioned with regards to it, then it's a major sin. It's a major sin. But the people of knowledge, they have clarified in order to see this in more detail. Like Ibn Abbas, and he mentioned radiyallahu anhuma, yani whether it's mentioned for the threat of the fire, or the threat of the curse of Allah, or the anger of Allah for the person who does that, or the punishment of Allah Azza wa Jal, either in this life or in the hereafter. And likewise, what has come in the Sunnah of the Prophet, there are hadith that have wordings like, laysa minna man fa'ala kadha wa kadha, he's not from us. He's not laysa minna, laysa minna, laysa minna man ghashana mathalan, like this. He's not from us, the one who tricks us or deceives us. Aw hamala alayna as-silah, and the likes like this, or carried weapons against us. He's not from us. This is an indication it's a major sin. This is an indication that it's a major sin. Also, if there's a mention, for example, that a person, he will not enter paradise. He will not enter paradise. لا يدخل الجنة قتات. The one who carries tails, he will not enter paradise. This is an indication that it's a major sin, because this is something that is lesser than disbelief, and it's lesser than major shirk. So therefore, it's understood that this is the threat that he will not enter the Jannah. This means that it's a major sin. This means that it's a major sin. Likewise, if we see in the evidences that the nafyul iman, that the iman has been negated, that the iman has been negated. For example, لا يؤمن أحدكم. لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه. Not one of you believes until he loves for his brother what he loves for himself. This is an indication that the one who left that off, he did not perform that. And the iman is being negated here. Al-iman al-wajib. So this is a major sin to leave off that. This is a major sin. This is a major sin, indication that this is a major affair. The people of knowledge, they mentioned that al-iman wa la yunfa. Al-iman la yunfa. That iman, a person's faith, it will not be negated. And in the text, illa bi tarki wajibin aw fi'li muharram, except in the case of leaving off an obligation or falling into a prohibition that is impermissible. So if it says, for example, likewise, wallahi la yu'min, wallahi la yu'min, wallahi la yu'min, it's come like this, oh Allah, I swear by Allah, he doesn't believe, I swear by Allah, he doesn't believe, like this, any the indication here that affair after that, that's a major sin. That's a major sin. That's a major sin. Or if, likewise, if the mention is way of wail comes, wailu lil ladina, wailu lil ladina, like this, wail to so and so, wail to so and so, like this. This is an indication that it's a major sin. This is an indication that it's a major sin. So this is very important. You need to be able to identify the major sins. And a believer, he will try his best to avoid and stay away from all sins. But even more, he will have more diligence to stay away from and avoid the major sins. The major sins. If he sees them, he'll go the other way. If he sees anything that will lead him to that major sin, he will go the other way. He will close that door. He will avoid that. He will lock that window. He will cut off that path. He will cut off those ties. Whatever is required for him, yani, to avoid that, he will make that step and make that move, doing what he can to protect and preserve and to maintain his religion and to safeguard his deen and to cherish that blessing. So therefore, it's very important to know, yani, what is a major sin and how to identify it in the book of Allah Azza wa Jal and in the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And these are some of those means. The next issue, the author, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he discusses in this introduction is the issue with regards to the number of sins, or with regards to the number of the major sins. And how many are they? Are they numbered or are they not numbered? Some of the people of knowledge, they mentioned that they are three. Others, they mentioned there are four. Some mentioned there are seven. Others mentioned there are nine. It has preceded yani, his position here. Others mentioned that it's every sin that is coupled with the threat for a punishment in this life or the hereafter. Yani, with the curse of Allah, or the anger of Allah, or the punishment of Allah, or that he will not enter paradise, or that his faith has been negated in the life like this. And this is the proper understanding. And this is how he began like this. But just so that it's known, there are some of the scholars who mentioned that there are numbers. And this is based upon narrations that have come with the mention of major sins and then the mention of a number along with that. And from the most well-known of those affairs, the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, known as the hadith Saba al-Mubiqat, the hadith of the seven destructive sins. the hadith of the seven destructive sins. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in that narration, he said, ijtanibu as-sab' al-mubiqat, stay away from and avoid, the same word, ijtanaba, to avoid and stay away from the seven major sins. The seven major sins. The companions after this, they said, and what are they, O Messenger of Allah? Wa ma hunna ya Rasulullah. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned ash-shirku billah, to associate partners with Allah, as-sihr, to perform magic, wa qatlu an-nafs allati harrama Allahu illa bil-haq, and to kill a soul, to murder a soul without right, and wa aklu riba, and to take interest, wa aklu mal al-yatim, and to take the wealth of the orphan unrightfully, wa tawalli yawm az-zahf, and to flee out of fear and because of cowardice in the battlefield, to turn away and to flee out of fright and fear from one's life, yani because of being a coward, yani in the battlefield, wa qathfu al-muhsanat al-mu'minat al-ghafilat, and to falsely accuse the innocent, pious and righteous Muslim women with committing fornication. So this, yani, is that hadith that is well known in Bukhari and Muslim. So the issue here, the author is referring to this, yani, that some of the people of knowledge mentioned because of this narration, the major sins are seven. The major sins are seven. In other narrations, there are three. And the likes like this. So he's mentioning another narration here. He says, وَلَهُ عَنْهُ قَالْ وَلَهُ عَنْهُ قَالْ. And also from Ibn Jarir, Tabari, rahimahullah ta'ala, from the narration of Ibn Abbas, radiyallahu anhuma, هِيَ السَّبْعُ مِيَةٍ أَقْرَبُ مِنْهَا إِلَى السَّبْعِ. Ibn Abbas, he said that they are closer to 700 than they are to seven. The major sins are closer to 700 than they are to seven. غير أنه لا كبيرة مع الاستغفار ولا صغيرة مع الإصرار. Except, he said that in reality they're closer to 700 than they are to seven. But along with the fact that there's no major sin along with seeking forgiveness, and likewise there is no minor sin along with persistence. And he mentioned a very important, yani, exception to the affair, that the major sins, they're not seven. Rather, they're closer to 700. Meaning that there are many. But the reality is that there's no major sin along with seeking forgiveness. And the one who repents from that sincerely, it will go away entirely. And likewise, there's no minor sin so long as someone is persisting upon that and continuing upon that way. He says, rahimahullah ta'ala, wadi abdul razaq anhu. Wadi abdul razaq anhu. Abdul razaq is Abdul Razak ibn Hammam al-San'ani, rahimahullah ta'ala, from the great scholars of hadith. He died in the year 211. He has some great works of hadith. From the most famous of them, he has al-Musannaf li Abdul Razak, a book called al-Musannaf. He'll gather in there the narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and likewise the narrations of the companions and the narrations of the tabi'een and the atba' tabi'een, and it's collected and arranged in the chapters of fiqh and the likes like this. So it's a very inclusive type of work, and his is very famous. There are two very famous, yani musannaf, a book that's called al-musannaf. It's a type of book of hadith, and there are two famous ones. One of them is the one of this man, Abdul Razak al-San'ani, rahimahullah, and another one is al-musannaf li-ibn Abi Shayba. These are very, very beneficial books with regards to the collections of the statements of the Sahaba and the fatawa of the Sahaba and the methodology and the madhahib of the Sahaba and the Tabi'een, along with the mention of the al-hadith al-marfu'ah from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He also has another book called al-tafsir al-san'ani. Shaykh Abdul Razak, hafidhahullah ta'ala, he mentioned that most likely this narration came from there, from the book of tafsir, and Allah knows best. In this narration, he mentioned, radiyallahu anhuma, hiya ila sab'ina aqrabu minha ila sab'a, that the major sins are closer to 70 than they are to 7. So we have two narrations from Ibn Abbas and radiyallahu anhuma. One of them, he says that the major sins are closer to 700 than they are to 7. The other narration says that they are closer to 70 than they are to 7. But with regards to the lughah, al-lugha arabiyya, and the usloob of the Arab, that many times they'll use this number not to indicate a specific number. And it's not intended that number, but what is intended, al-kathra, a whole lot. to be abundant. Istaghfir lahum, aw la tastaghfir lahum, istaghfir lahum 70 marratan, lan yaghfir Allahu lahum. Seek forgiveness for them or don't seek forgiveness for them. Allah, he mentioned about the hypocrites to his prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and those who die upon disbelief, if you sought forgiveness for them 70 times, Allah will never forgive them. And 70 is not intended here. What is intended is a lot. What is intended is a lot. The people of knowledge, they mention whenever sabumiya is mentioned like this, in this type of context, what is intended, al-kathratu fil miyat. Al-kathratu fil miyat. Yani that means an abundance in hundreds. Yani hundreds of times. Hundreds of times. To refer to a lot of things occurring hundreds of times. But if one were to say sab'ina marrah, like this 70 times, this means, what is intended by this, al-kathratu fi al-asharat. Al-kathratu fi al-asharat. Yani meaning that it's like numerous times in the tens, like this, in the tens of times. This is from the manners of the Arabs and their speech, that they will use the words 70, they will use the word 70 or 700 in this manner like this to refer to a lot. So the point here is that the major sins, there are not few of them. They're not a few. They're not three, nor are they seven, nor are they nine, as some of the people of knowledge have mentioned, but rather there are many. But the important thing for a believer to know is that he will have the knowledge to identify them. He will have the knowledge to identify them. Whether he knows how many they are, exactly a number, or not, what he needs to know is how to identify them and how to see them. So whenever they come, or they're coming in his way, or they're in his path, and the likes like this, he will be able to avoid them, and he will be able to stay away from them. He will be able to avoid them, and he will be able to stay away from them. So this is the introduction. The author, he mentioned, rahimahullahu ta'ala, and these are some of the fawaid that come along with that. I forgot to mention with regards to Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he died in the year 68, and he is also from those noble companions that are known as Mukthirun, Al-Mukthiruna fi riwayat al-Athar, those who are known as Al-Mukthirun, those who narrated many narrations from the companions, there are seven of them. There are seven of the companions that had narrated more than 1,000 hadith. And many of the companions, they narrated on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but some of them, they narrated more than others. These seven here, they narrated more than 1,000 narrations each. More than 1,000. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he narrated 1,696 narrations on the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Al-Mukthiruna fi riwayat al-Athar, Abu Hurayrata yalihi ibn Umar. Abu Hurayrata يليه ابن عمر أنس والبحر كالخدري وجابر وزوجة النبي. These are the seven. It's mentioned in the Alfiya of Suyuti. He put them in these lines of poetry like this. So we see that Abu Hurairah, he's the first of them, and he narrated more than 5,000 narrations radiallahu anhu. And after that is Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, and after that is Anas, and then Al-Bahr. وأنس والبحر كالخدري. Al-Bahr, who is that? Al-Habr, his Habr al-Umma, also they call Ibn Abbas al-Bahr. Al-Bahr, yani the ocean. Meaning he's an ocean of knowledge. Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhuma. And also al-Khudri, Abu Sa'id al-Khudri. And then after that, Jabir ibn Abdullah. Jabir ibn Abdullahi, and then Zawjatu Nabi. Which one?
Aisha.
Aisha, radiallahu anha. Naam, as-Siddiqa, bint as-Siddiqa. All of these noble companions here, the seven, they narrated more than 1,000 narrations. They're called al-mukthiruna fi riwayat al-athar. Al-mukthiruna min al-sahaba. The seven companions who narrated more than 1,000 narrations. So this is the issue here with regards to the introduction. After this, the author, he mentions the first chapter, but in reality, it's coupled with what is intended from the introduction. He says, Babu akbar al-kabair. Babu akbar al-kabair. The chapter with regards to the greatest of the major sins. The greatest of the major sins. This is the title of the chapter. We have seen some evidences, any that indicate this affair in the Book of Allah. الَّذِينَ يَجْتَنِبُونَ كَبَائِرَ الْإِثْمِ وَالْفَوَاحِشِ وَالْفَوَاحِشِ. And indicating that the major sins are different levels. And this is the chapter here. And also this chapter is not only clarifying this issue, that the major sins, they fluctuate and they are different levels in severity, but also to clarify that number is not intended. the number 7 is not intended. The most that has been mentioned in the tafsir of Ibn Jarir al-Tabari is 9. That the major sins are 9. And that a number has come like this. Here he says, Babu Akbar al-Kabair. وفي الصحيحين يعني الصحيحين يعني البخاري المسلم عن أبي بكرة عن أبي بكرة رضي الله عنه أنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ألا أنبئكم بأكبر الكبائر. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, should I not inform you of the greatest of the major sins? قلنا بلى يا رسول الله. They said, of course, O Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم. قال الإشراق بالله وعقوق الوالدين وكان متكئا فجلس فقال ألا وقول الزور ألا وشهادة الزور فما زال يكررها حتى قلنا ليته سكت ليته سكت. So he mentioned a narration of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, should I not inform you of the greatest of the major sins? And they said, of course, O Messenger of Allah. Of course, O Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-ishraqu billah, to associate partners with Allah in worship, wa uququl walidain, and to disobey the parents, wa kana muttaki'an fajalasa, and he was leaning back at this moment, and then he sat up, and he meaning that the issue is severe now, and then he sat up, and he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ala wa qawlu zur, ala wa shahadatu zur, and also verity. And also verity from those major sins, the statement of zur, and the testification of zur. Zur is fabrication and a lie, false testification, and to lie about a situation and to bear false witness and to take a false testimony in order to take somebody's right or in order to gain a right unlawfully, and the lies like this. So this is the narration here. And he said, radiallahu anhu, so he continued, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to repeat that until we were like, oh, if he would just be quiet. And he continued saying that Allah was shahadatu zur, shahadatu zur, and he repeating this affair. So indicating the dangers of this issue, to lie and to bear a false witness, to take the right of somebody or to gain a right unlawfully, and the lies like this, or to have status or to have rank or position, or to praise somebody who does not deserve to be praised, and the lies like this in order to have rank or seat or position, and the lies like this, this is a major sin. After looking at the methodology of the author, it's clear that what he's intending here is not the issue of these affairs here, but to clarify what has preceded. And that those major sins, they're not 7. Because if we see in the hadith, as-saba al-mubiqat, the hadith mentioned the seven destructive sins, shirk is mentioned there, no doubt. But disobeying the parents is not mentioned there. And neither is shahadat al-zur. So these are two affairs that's additional to that. These are two affairs that's additional to that. This will make it 9. So some of the people, they mentioned that it's 9. But there's also other narrations clarifying that when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he will mention other affairs likewise. And we will read them, inshallah ta'ala, that are also considered from the major sins. One of them is to kill your child. Is to kill your child out of fear. And taqtula waladaka makhafata an yat'ama ma'aka. That you would kill your child afraid that he would eat with you. Which is something that they used to do in those days in Jahiliyyah. So that's also from the major sins, and it's not mentioned there or there. So that means that there are 10 here that we have counted so far. So therefore there is a number of them, and this is the evidence for that. What indicates that the author, he didn't intend these affairs here to study these affairs in detail now, but rather to clarify this issue, to clarify that the major sins, they fluctuate, and to clarify that their number is not 7 or 9, is that he has chapters specifically with regards to these affairs. He has a chapter that will come specifically with regards to disobeying the parents, or he will mention detailed information about that. And likewise, he has a chapter specific about false testification, or he will mention evidences and details with regards to that. So Allah knows best. The purpose of this here is to clarify this issue. First and foremost, that, and the first benefit from this chapter here, Babu Akbar al-Kabair, is that the clarification that the major sins, they fluctuate. The major sins, they fluctuate. They fluctuate. Some of them are greater than others. All of them are the greatest of sins. But from amongst them, some of them are greater and more severe, and more dangerous, and more detestful, and more disgusting, and will earn a person the anger of Allah quicker and more severe. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. So this is something likewise to be aware of. This is something likewise to be aware of. So it's very important to mention this in the beginning. And so that the believer, he'll be upon a light with regards to this as he's studying. And as we study these kaba'ir, and he mentions chapter after chapter, it's important to know that they're not all one level, that some of them are more severe than others. Although all of them are great, and all of them are severe, and all of them, a person who will perpetrate them or commit them, he has a great threat. But some of them are even worse and more dangerous. But some of them are even worse and more dangerous. Likewise, the benefit of this chapter here is to clarify that those major sins are not a specific number, and to reinforce the position that he mentioned in the first, that understanding of Ibn Abbas and radiallahu anhumah. Whether that ascription to him is authentic or not, that the people of knowledge, they have transmitted that statement and that definition and agreed with him with regards to that. And they have used that as a definition, that a major sin is that which has come with regards to a threat of the fire or the curse of Allah Azza wa Jal, or a punishment in this life or in the hereafter, and or the anger of Allah for the one who performs that. And the likes like this, all of these are indications that it's a major sin. All of these are indications that it's a major sin. That it's a major sin. So also from these benefits, the benefits of this chapter, we see the wisdom of the author, that he's very diligent to benefit the people, and that he strove hard, and he had detailed fiqh and understanding and well-versed knowledge of the book and the sunnah. And especially in his times, they didn't have devices like we have. And even they didn't have the books like we have today, printed books and print presses. Rather, they had manuscripts and the likes like this. And a book that they would have at those days, there would be a handwritten book. So one of these books, for example, today we have a big, a thick book, and in handwritten form, and a handwritten form on a parchment. How big would that be? And so they're flipping pages, and they're going through effort, and he's aware of these affairs, and he's going through these manuscripts, and he's digging, and he knows what is in the Musnad, and he knows what is in Bukhari, and he knows what is in Muslim, and he knows the chapter to go for with regards to this, and the hadith with regards to that. And then on top of that, he's given success to arrange them in the best manner. Out of thousands of hadith, he'll pick one or two. Out of thousands of narrations, he'll pick three or four, and he'll put them and arrange them with the verses in the best manner, and then he'll just put a title there for you. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Not to mention in his day, he had much enemies that were against him. And this is why he would stay away from putting anything from his own words. This is our creed and our belief. Read the words of your Lord, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Read the statement of your Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Read the statements of the companions. They know best, the scholars of hadith. Look at this understanding here. It's very clear. It's very clear in these affairs like this. And this is a sign of his diligence, and likewise a sign of his ikhlas and his sincerity. May Allah accept from him and reward him the best reward, and allow us to benefit from his works, and allow us to benefit from his works. So, and he, along with this, and he, I mentioned this narration that has come as well, and need to support this affair. Qala ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, sa'altu an-nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ayyu al-dhanbi a'zam indallah. He said, I asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which sin is greatest with Allah? قال صلى الله عليه وسلم أن تجعل لله ندا وهو خلقك, that you make appear and a rival with Allah in worship, in love, in hope, in devotion, in servitude, and He is the one who created you, and He is the one who created you. قلت ابن مسعود, he says, إن ذلك العظيم, he said, oh man, this is something great. After this, he said, ثم أي قال أن تقتل ولدك تخاف أن يطعم معك, that you would kill your child afraid that he would eat with you. And then he said, which one after that? He said, and to zani harida tajarika, that you commit fornication with the family or the relative or the wife of your neighbor. So here in this narration we see, collected by Al-Bukhari and Muslim, by Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhumah, that he asked, what is the greatest sin with Allah Azza wa Jal? And he asked three times, and each time he got a different answer, radiallahu anhu. The first one, of course, like has preceded in the Sab' al-Mubiqat, and likewise in the Hadith Akbar al-Kaba'ir, al-Shirk, or al-Ishraq billah, to associate partners with Allah, and taj'al lillahi niddan wa huwa khalaqaka, yani to make shirk with him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he is the one who created you and provided for you. So after this he asked, and he mentioned that you, the sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that you, that you kill your child, you murder your child afraid that he's going to eat with you. And likewise he mentioned after that, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that one, he would fornicate with the family of his neighbor, from the major sins. So these two here are not in those seven. These two here are not in those seven. That makes nine. Plus the other two here and the hadith that he mentioned, rahimahullah, that makes 10, 11. There's 11 of them. So any with this affair here, it's clear. Any what he mentioned here from the statement of Ibn Abbas, radiyallahu anhumah, that they're closer to 70 or closer to 700 than they are to 7. And in reality, the proper understanding and definition of a major sin is every sin that has come with regards to that a threat has come with regards to it. I mentioned along with it a couple of the threat, a threat in this life or a threat in the hereafter, a threat of a punishment or in this life or in the hereafter, or the anger of Allah or the curse of Allah. La'anahullah. The narrations have come like this for certain individuals who do things, certain things. And these affairs will come. The point now is to understand the definition of a major sin. To understand the definition of a major sin. Here in this narration we see it is the hadith of Abi Bakrata radiyallahu anhu. And this is not Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu. This is another companion. His kunya is Abu Bakrata. Al-Bakra is a pulley. A pulley, a round pulley. They'll take a pulley and then they'll put a string on it and they'll use it to lower a bucket into the well and pull it out. And they'll use it for other affairs also. Abu Bakrata, his name is An-Nufay' ibn al-Harith radiyallahu anhu. And he's from the tribe of Thaqif, and also Thaqafi. And also he is from Ta'if. And that tribe is from the area of Ta'if. A Ta'ifi radiyallahu anhu. Nufay' ibn al-Harith. It's mentioned in his Tarjamah, in his biography, that he in the battle of Ta'if, Ghazwat al-Ta'if, after the Fatah of Mecca and the likes, in the 8th year, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he went to Ta'if and he surrounded them. They went inside a big fortress, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam surrounded them for days and nights. It's mentioned, some mention 40 nights, others mention less than that. Allah knows best any of the time, but they were surrounded. There was some exchange of arrows and the likes like this. But in the end, what happened was Abu Bakrata, he used a pulley. And he put it on the walls of the fortress, and he climbed the fortress, and he got over the side, and he came fleeing and running to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he mentioned that he was a slave, and that he wanted to accept Islam, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam set him free and gave him the kunya Abu Bakr, Abu Bakr is the pulley, and because he used this to escape, yani from the fortress of those disbelievers at that time, radiyallahu anhu, and he accepted Islam. And his Islam was good, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam set him free, and he is from the noble companions of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abu Bakrata Nufay' ibn al-Harith radiyallahu anhu. From the benefits of this chapter here, Bab Akbar al-Kabair, yani, and what we see from the methodology of the author likewise, we see that he mentioned this chapter not to refer to these affairs specifically or to discuss these specific topics here. And the evidence for that is because he mentioned chapters specifically for these affairs with a number of evidences. But here shirk is mentioned. And this is the only time, if you look in the chapters of this book, where there is an affair that is an invalidator about Islam. So Allah knows best, the author, the only thing he's focusing on in this book is al-kabair. الكبائر والمعاصي التي هي دون الشرك والكفر التي هي دون الشرك والكفر يعني the major sins and the major actions of disobedience that are less than shirk, that are less than disbelief. So we have seen that he has another book called Nawaqid al-Islam. We studied that, alhamdulillah, and he clarified in that book shirk and the affairs related to that, and he clarified the issues or a number of the issues that invalidate the religion from the foundation. And this work here, he's not discussing those affairs. Those affairs were discussed in another work, and he has effort in that area or in that field likewise. But this field here, and what is intended from this work here, is to clarify not the affairs that invalidate the deen, not the affairs of ridda and that would take one outside of Islam, but rather the affairs that would cause the Islam to be deficient and to decrease and to weaken the faith. And so all of the chapters after this, there's no mention of the affairs that in its original understanding is major disbelief. Rather, it's from the major sins that are lesser than that. So what we embark upon now is to learn these affairs specifically. Those major sins that have that description. Huh? What is the description? That's a threat in this life or the hereafter. What does it mean in this life? A threat of what? The anger of Allah will be upon him. Or that there will be a legal punishment prescribed for that action. A legal punishment prescribed in this life for that action. Whatever it may be, whether it's capital punishment or whether it's another type of legal punishment that's prescribed for that action, that's an indication it's a major sin. Also, a threat of the fire, that he will be in the hellfire, that he'll be in the hellfire, or the iman is being negated, the faith, he doesn't believe, or his faith is not complete, or not one of you believes, not one of you believes, or the likes like this, and this is an indication it's a major sin. Or the anger of Allah will be upon him, or the wail, or that he will not enter Jannah. So and so, who does this will not enter paradise. لا يدخل الجنة من كان في قلبه مثقال ذرة من كبر. The hadith is going to come in the second chapter that he will not enter paradise, the one who has the ant's weight of arrogance and pride in his heart. And this is an indication that it's a major sin, but it's lesser than shirk. It's a major sin. It's a major sin. So these are all signs that these are major sins. That these are major sins, or that he's eating fire in his belly, he's putting fire in his belly, and the likes like this, he's putting fire in his stomach. ما يأكلون إلا النار, like this, or لا ينظر إليهم, Allah will not look at him. نعم, ولا يكلمه الله يوم القيامة, Allah will not speak to him. These are all other indications. These are major sins. So there are indications. So a believer, he will learn these signs and these descriptions. He will learn these signs and these descriptions. And he will know them in order to avoid them and stay away from them. And if a person, he knows these descriptions of these major sins, then anything that is lesser than that from the prohibitions, anything that is a prohibited, that is lesser than that affair, then it's from the minor sins. So by learning the signs of the major sins, any of these prohibitions or these affairs that have been mentioned in this manner, with the threat of punishment in this life or the hereafter, then everything that is lesser than that from the affairs that are impermissible, It is a minor sin. It's a saghira. But remember the statement of Ibn Abbas and radiyallahu anhumah is very beneficial to remember and to understand. لا كبيرة مع الاستغفار. That there is no major sin so long as the person, he seeks forgiveness. Even if he repeated it, so long as he truthfully and honestly sought forgiveness, that major sin will not be there and it will go away. التائب من الذنب كمن لا ذنب له. The one who repents sincerely and truthfully from a sin is like one who has no sin. But on the other hand, likewise, وَلَا صَغِيرَةَ مَعَ الْإِصْرَارِ. But there's also no minor sin. There's no minor sin so long as a person is being persistent upon it. So by persisting upon minor sin, this turns that minor sin into a major sin. By persisting upon it. And this is because a person, by persisting upon it, is as if he has no concern or care. And he has no honor or respect for the commandments and the prohibitions, and it's lighting his heart in this manner. And by belittling these commandments and being upon it consecutively and not having concern or any shyness from Allah and seeking forgiveness, even if it's a minor sin. But with persistence, it's a major sin. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ هَذَا وَصَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَى نَبِيَنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ وَسَلَّمَ